And it is so wonderful to be in the Word of God. And I'm just going to start us out with a quick prayer. But yeah, Abba Father, I am so excited to be in your Word again. And this is going to be a bit more interactive, and I'm excited about that. And as always, we love you. We want to know you better. We want to be transformed by your Word. We want to come out of here loving you more, aware of your love for us more, glorifying you and honoring you. Be with the listener and the speaker both. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in us and among us. And we love you and praise you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." We live in a world that we need help. We live in a world that I don't think does a great job of focusing on these things. And I found I need the Psalms. The Psalms are this great marination of my soul. The Psalms are a place where I go when I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, and sometimes I'm not even aware of that. I'm not even aware of what I'm missing until I dig into the Psalms, until I'm immersing myself, swimming in the midst of them, and it's like, soul, I've needed this. Eugene Peterson said that the Psalms are where Christians in the past have always learned to pray. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Life Together said, "The Psalms presupposes that we shouldn't assume we know how to pray. It presupposes, rather, that God wants to guide us. And the Psalms constitutes that guidance." The Psalms show us how to pray. I touched on this last week, but for the last 5 months, I've entered in this practice of every day praying through the Psalms, 10 minutes a day. And it's been one of the most impactful spiritual practice in my last 10 years or more. And let me give you a silly illustration why I think that is. When I was a kid in the 70s, I loved basketball. I wanted to be an NBA star. My physical limitations got in the way of that. But I would practice and I would play, but there were these limitations, and in my practice, I'd get in these ruts. We had kind of that typical suburban concrete slab with the hoop. It was up on a telephone pole. And I didn't always know what was best in terms of practicing sports and my little drills, and I'd dribble back and up and I'd do my little lay-ins. But it wasn't always very creative, and I would get kind of bored at times. And, you know, to be honest, prayer at times in the past has seemed that way to me. I don't know if you feel that way, but I get into these ruts, and it's weird. It seems like I'm praying the same thing over and over again, which, you know, isn't a bad thing, but the fruit of that sometimes is I'd lose my passion to pray, because it's like I'm saying the exact same thing. But back to basketball. One day I discovered Dr. J. Now, if you know who Dr. J is, he was before Jordan and LeBron and all these other folks. He was this incredible athlete who played in the NBA, and he did all sorts of creative stuff. I mean, he'd be out there and he'd do his double pumps and he would do his up and unders, and he could pretty much, you call out what kind of jam he would do. He'd rock the cradle. I mean, still remember in an actual game, he's kind of going like this. I mean, he was amazing. And my world was open. And my practices suddenly got a lot more creative. And soon, even more exciting, in games, I was applying what I learned. So there would be these great big mammoth opponents. And they would want to send my shots back into the stance. And you know, that would make my heart a little sore if they did that. So I would apply my Dr. J and I would go up and I'd double pump. And they would go there and the ball was still in my, and take that, mammoth opponents. I still remember my senior year playing basketball, and Dr. J had this famous move where he would go one side of the basket and he goes to the other, and I did that. Oh man. It wasn't quite as majestic. I didn't quite get as high, but you know, again, I loved it. And love was the key here. Because to see Dr. J play was to see somebody who loved the game. He just had fun. And he helped me have a lot more love for the game too. And again, basketball is a silly little game. But the same principle applies to us with praying the Psalms. The Psalms are written by folks, and it's not just one, you know. Many different people had these sweet, intimate, authentic relationships with God. And they just lived their life, and they have their ups and their downs. But through it all, they pray from the heart to God, and they give us a vision and a pattern of how to connect with God, of who God is. For me, so as I started to pray through the Psalms, you know, there's lots of different types of Psalms. There's the great Laments, and but for me, I focused on the praise and the thanksgiving of the Psalms. I'm an activist. I focus on doing things, being productive. And the beauty of praying the Psalms of praise and thanksgiving, it's not productive. It's not in some ways efficient. It's just who I am, it's where I'm at with God, and it just this focus on this intimacy and this relationship with God. And it's been really good, even amazing, to do that. The Psalms have given me, they've given me new words to speak to God. They've given me concepts of how to praise God. Before, when I would try to praise God, sometimes it would be like, God, you're great. You're amazing, and you're good, and you're really good. And you're really great, and you're good, you know? And I just, I kind of, you know, in about 15 seconds. But the Psalms, again, they give me some new ways of seeing God. Now I pray along with the psalmists. And so, for example, and
I should have enough everybody should have enough for one thing.
So this is Psalm 145. And this is kind of how I would pray this psalm, you know, so I can, as I'm working through and I'm responding to this psalm, well, verse 1, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King. And then at that point, typically, I just stop myself and I say, Lord, I do extol you. I lift you up. And Lord, I am thankful that you are my God and my King. And I praise you that you're not just a kind king, but you're powerful. You know, it just, again, it gives my mind just some truths about God that I might not, you know, naturally think about. You know, so the psalm continues, and bless your name forever and ever. And so again, I might just respond, God, I bless you today, and I look forward to blessing you tomorrow. I am so grateful that I get to look forward to being with you for eternity, where I continue to bless you every day. You get the point, right? I agree with the psalmist, and I let their moves, their creativity, take me to new places. Look at verse 3, if you would, please. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Now it's kind of your turn. How might you respond to this in prayer? So if you're reading through this psalm and you get to that and it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, how would you respond to this? Not rhetorical. You'll make my heart sore if you don't answer. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Lord, you're great. I praise you. Like sometimes, so, you know, I kind of, not cheated, but it's not like every single verse I'm responding in paragraphs. Sometimes it's just the action of repeating back, but I'm repeating it back with my heart. There's, you know, I don't want to go off too much. I appreciate Christian music sometimes, but sometimes I turn on the radio and I actually don't listen a whole lot to what's on the radio. Maybe I haven't found the right station, but it tends to be like, yeah, my life is horrible and I really need you, God, because my life's really horrible and my life sucks. And I'm like, man, I'm just depressed. You know, don't. Sure, you know, Lord, my life's really horrible, but this is who you are, God. That's what lifts me up. That's what gives me hope. Last week I talked about, for all of us, but for folks 60 and over, your mandate is to be people of hope. Your job is to be people of hope. The generations below you desperately need you to be people of hope. And this is part of how you do that. As you're interacting with God, you're interacting with who he truly is. And I'm like, I tell you, when I do 10 minutes of that in the morning, I'm not depressed. I've never, ever, and I've dealt with depression. I don't make light of that. But I don't finish that, and it's like, well, man, I'm not looking forward to my day. I watch the news. Or things like that. There's a lot of things that can depress me in 10 minutes. This doesn't. This gives me hope. Now, I want you to practice this. With, you know, the rest of Psalm 146. And don't be in a rush. You don't have to finish this. If you do, go to 147. But I'm going to give us probably about 5 minutes, because I know we're doing communion this week. But I want you to slowly continue. So from verse 4, read the psalm and pause and respond to its various parts. Sometimes, again, it might be more at length. Sometimes it might be, yes, Lord, that's true, and saying it back. And if you want to do this individually, Or if you want to, grab a partner and just quietly pray aloud together. So next 5 minutes, I don't have a job. Okay, I'm off. And so next 5 minutes, go ahead and work through this and then respond in prayer. So I did this once before, and it's kind of a similar. I always wish there was more time, and I'd love to be able to kind of like even ask as a group what that was like for you. Unfortunately, we don't have time to do that, but the good news is you can do this yourself. I want to give permission. If it's just like, hey, you know, that wasn't super powerful to me, then obviously don't do that. But my guess is that for some of you, it's like, yeah, you know, that was good for my soul to do that. And if you find that, I would encourage you. And, you know, there's a theory to this thing. If 10 minutes, I think I started out 5 minutes a day for 5 days a week. Like, I set goals that I actually could hit. But very quickly, it was like, you know what? 5 minutes isn't enough. I want 10. And 4 or 5 days a week, that's not enough either. I want every day. So I would encourage you to think about doing this. And maybe even if it's like, oh, you know, this is great. I'm not sure where I'd find the time. Well, you know, I already shared. For Lent, to me, I'm not doing the news, you know. I actually feel like it's a good trade, you know. 10 minutes of news for this. I like Jeopardy, but 10 minutes of Jeopardy for this. Jeopardy's better than news than I think, but you know, and still, this is, you get my point. So not trying to be like, hey, you need to do this for an hour, but I would encourage some of us, if it's like tugging at your heart, again, last 10 years, this has been one of the most significant spiritual practices for myself, and it has changed dramatically how I see God and how I see the world. I just have a lot more hope when I step out in the world these days, and it's because of the truth of things like this. All right. Love you guys. It's been a pleasure to have spent the last 2 weeks with you. And now we get to take communion, which I'm very excited about.